So the message today is our three-in-one God on this Trinity Sunday. Last week we had the euphoria of Pentecost Sunday, celebrating the birth of the early Christian church. At that festival of Pentecost, God manifested his gift of the Holy Spirit in its full power to the people gathered there. Where Peter delivered a great spirit-inspired sermon, many came to faith after that. Of course, the Spirit of God existed before that, and that you knew from Genesis. And throughout the Gospels, and also when Jesus appeared to his disciples in the upper room, he breathed on them that Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit. The three persons, the three in one, God, the three persons of God are distinct, yet are of one substance or essence or nature. They are co-equal, co-eternal, and consubstantial, but each is God, whole and entire. For this message, I looked up the subject from several sources to help us understand, to help me understand the meaning. And one of them was from St. Augustine of Hippo. Now, he lived a long time ago. He lived from 354 to 430 AD. He became a bishop in Hippo, which is in North Africa, now known as Anabar in Algeria. We've just heard and said the Nicene Creed. Well, in his day, there were preemptives of that. There was the Council of Nicaea, as well as from Cappadocia. And in his book, he explains his reasonings on the Trinity. He studied the soul of us humans to understand the Trinity. And he studied the image of God. The image of God to St. Augustine and to us is about God's love to us. And that was most prominent in that Romans 8 reading. So he sectioned this, God's love. Love has to have a love, a lover, a beloved, and a loving. God the Father is the lover. God the Son is the beloved. The Holy Spirit is our loving spirit. And in John's Gospel, as you heard Reg read, there Jesus says God will give his spirit and that God becomes present where there is love. Another interesting point in this book is where St. Augustine refers to the first chapter of Genesis. And I began a little bit in the first few verses. But when it comes to God creating us, let us make man in our image and likeness. Not in my image or in your image, but our image. Quote, we must believe that man was made in the image of the Trinity, three in one. So I moved on to other sources, like the pictures. And I had a National Gallery book about the Trinity. Again, with this picture of Jesus being baptized. And this reverend is a reverend, or was a reverend, at St. Martin in the Fields. And he has another icon which shows the Trinity, which any of you are interested, I will leave on the altar to look at. Again, he was mentioning in the early church, Reverend Holtham. The early church developed creeds and statements of belief to understand the truth of the Christian faith and unity of the church and about the Trinity. Then I got out my faith and worship units. These are the ones which preachers in training use. From Unit 17, we did learn about the history of creeds from St. Augustine's time. But there are pitfalls to avoid, just as they cause debate today. Pitfalls. And I'll read them to you. Number one, that Jesus was not a man, but a God. Number two, that he was a being, perhaps between the two. Number three, that he was a man, then he became God. Number four, that he was just a man. How many people in this world just say he was just a man? Jesus put the question to Peter and his disciples, who do you say I am? Who do we say Jesus is? And again, in one of the units, it said in Unit 6, we learn from other people's experiences of their Christian faith journey. C.S. Lewis says, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Chronicles of Narnia. One of his quotes is, quote, when we pray to the Father, indeed prompted by the Father, but knowing that all our real knowledge of God comes through Jesus the Son, and that we can only reach God because he himself is the bridge, which is the work of the Spirit. Unquote. Then I got really theological and opened one of Moltmann's books on the Trinity and the Kingdom. It's pristine, so that means it's really, really deep. So that's why I haven't read it fully at all. But in later chapters, he does get into the Trinity. And he theologizes the Holy Spirit's place in the Trinity. So he concentrates on the Spirit. Where did the Spirit come from? The Father or the Son? Who instigates the Spirit? The Father or the Son? And there is a clue, and I'll read, hopefully, in John's Gospel, again, John's Gospel, in chapter 15, which is after Reggie's reading. So, and there is a verse which is a clue of that. John 15, chapter 15, verse 26. These are Jesus' words to his disciples from carrying on from Reggie's reading. Jesus said, I will send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus is sending the Spirit. He will come to you from the Father. So it's the Spirit is coming from the Father, and he will tell you all about me. And there is a but you must also tell others about me because you have been with me from the beginning. And how did they do that? Through the Spirit. So that's how the gospel continues through God's Spirit. The Romans reading, I'll just be very brief here, because I think we need to read that again and again, from chapter 8. The Romans reading is leading us to realize what the Spirit of God does. That it is a gift. It has power. It gives freedom. It gives us new life. All shown to us by Jesus. Paul knows that there is a choice to believe in Jesus, the Christ, or to follow our human natures. And that was very clear in what Katrina read. And the most practical way to help those early Christians from Pentecost to Peter's day to Paul's day to our day too is prayer. Even before we pray or when we talk to God, our souls meet up with God's Spirit in us. I'll say that again. Even before we pray or talk to God, our souls meet up with God's Spirit in us. But also we must be aware of false prophets and false spirits. So understanding the mystery of God, three in one, is a challenge to us. To repeat from what I said earlier, from what St. Augustine put, that God is love, so love has a lover, the beloved, and the one who is loving. And I'll just finish with two practical illustrations, some real illustrations of life. Two ladies on life journeys, one searching, the other has searched. The first one was a lady who I was giving treatment to at the Mulberry Centre. And some of you know where this is. Some of you know that I go there and volunteer to give reflexology to those affected by cancer. This lady also has a very sick father in hospital. She came into the room and she burst into tears. She cried when she told me about her life at the moment. Now, we are not trained to be counsellors, but we listen and we give in our own way. I know that she desires to attend church. She needed to. She needs God's love. She says she comes, and this is her spiritual dose. She desired to attend church, and I hope she has done today. The second lady I spoke to this week, well, there are more than one lady I spoke to this week. The second lady is a little bit older. She said she's 85. And she was very proud to tell me some of her life. She also made a promise to attend church, but she needed a lift. She says she and all of us are on a journey. She knows her journey is coming to an end, but she gave me the impression that she is grateful for her life experiences. I found her a happy soul, and felt she knew love in her life. These two ladies showed me a positiveness. They had gifts to share, whatever their situation. So each of us are given a gift, and we know the gifts of the Spirit. We are given according to our ability or understanding. It is our duty as Christians and those who are searching to be one to learn more about our wonderful God. He is present where there is love. Now, last week was also Aldersgate Sunday, where John Wesley renewed his faith, or his faith became complete. If that's the right way to say it. And he heard an excerpt from Martin Luther's preface to this very same book of Romans. And I wonder if this is the part which caused John Wesley to have the extra insight into faith by grace. Grace is the gift. Quote, love is instilled in the heart by the Holy Spirit, from Romans chapter 5. The Spirit is given in faith and by faith in Jesus. There is no faith except by the word of God or the gospel which proclaims Christ, that he is the Son of God who died and rose again for our sakes. The Spirit is given in faith and by faith in Jesus. So glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.